Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour. This summer, keep up to date on the day's news with Up First, the morning news podcast from NPR. In just 10 minutes, Up First gives you a quick morning update on the news you need to start the day. Wake up with Up First tomorrow morning on the NPR One app and wherever you listen to podcasts. I don't trust nobody and
nobody trusts me. It's that time again, and by that time, we mean the day after the MTV Video Music Awards.
Very often, this is a night for drama and madness and maybe a feud or two.
Yeah, and this year we got a new Taylor Swift video, a couple of interesting performances, and some efforts to incorporate the outside world into the inside of the room. I'm Linda Holmes.
And I'm Stephen Thompson. We're going to talk about VMA's highlights with a great panel on this episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Look what you just made me do.
Support for Pop Culture Happy Hour comes from Boomerang, a new subscription video app offering timeless cartoons and new original animated series. Take a deep dive into cartoon pop culture with Bugs, Daffy, and all of the Looney Tunes, Scooby-Doo and the Gang, the Smurfs, and more of your favorites. To laugh along with all of these iconic characters, you can find Boomerang on the web, mobile, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Roku, and Chromecast. Visit boomerang.com/promo and use the promo code HAPPYHOUR to start your free trial.
Stephen and I are here in Studio 44, but with us from California is Sarah Ventry. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Linda.
Sarah is a music writer who now works for KJZZ in Phoenix. And speaking of music writers, we've got one from right here at NPR Music, Marissa LaRusso.
Hello.
Hi, Marissa. You might have seen Marissa's writing around NPR. So every year we gather here and we talk about the VMAs. Stephen, what did you think of last night's VMAs?
You know, there was a moment early in the show where I think it's when Katy Perry was talking. Ugh. And they, yeah, we'll get to that. And they cut to Jack Antonoff in the crowd. Jack Antonoff is from the band Bleachers. He writes a lot of pop songs. He's collaborated with Taylor Swift. He's sitting in the audience and he's eating a banana.
Just the most calm look on his face.
Just calmly eating a banana in the crowd. And I think to myself, I'm in. This is my awards show. Yeah. This is an awards show that knows it's dumb. Everybody there who's there knows it's just silly mm-hmm. and fun, and it's just going to be a collection of goofy moments,
right.
Some of which may or may not go viral. And then it kind of plodded along
yeah.
from there.
So I want to set the scene a little bit. If you didn't see the VMAs, they were hosted by Katy Perry. I feel like she hosted them from a chuckle hut in Vegas. In like 1989.
I was literally just going to say 1989. Maybe it's a Taylor Swift 40 and slip. But.
So the jokes were extremely corny. Now, Marissa, we were talking today about the incredibly timely Firefest
yeah.
chunk.
Katy Perry played some voicemails, some fake voicemails from a fake friend starting before when she was just about to go to Firefest and she was so excited. Oh my God, where are you, Katy? And then when she was just arriving at Firefest and then after the catastrophe that was Firefest.
There is no music. Are you here? This place is lit. Like it's actually on fire.
It seemed like not only a joke that was not in any way timely, but also managed to pack every offensive stereotype about women in pop culture into like a nice minute and a half little joke.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes. The Valley Girl accent and everything, the upspeak at the end of every sentence, yeah.
It was hard to figure out what exactly Katy Perry was doing. And to me, the part that was weirdest was, if it didn't already feel like a cheap comedy club, they had a weird thing going on with the set this year where the famous people were like at little bar tables.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all seemed like they were at a comedy club.
At the same time, even though these awards stretched out for more than 3 hours, they did get rid of some of the stuff I've not liked from previous years. They kind of got rid of some of the like VJs you've never heard of yammering and then introducing other VJs you've never heard of and
yeah.
yammering.
Yeah.
So it, in some ways, it felt like they tried to make it leaner and yet it just inexplicably stretched. For some reason, this show gets longer and longer every year. And I feel like MTV is supposed to be about short attention spans.
Well, Well, and one of the things I thought was funny was that one of the ways they seemed to be trying to make it leaner is that they would be like, all right, this is an amazing artist. I cannot wait for you to hear him. He's so exciting. It's the best thing to come down the line in the next 20 years. Here's so-and-so. And then so-and-so would come out, get like 10
Julia
seconds.
Michaels, yeah.
Get like 10 seconds into the song. And then they'd pull back the camera and they'd be like, coming up. And I was like, you just got done with telling me how great this is. And I got to see 10 seconds of it. I don't know. Sarah, what were your thoughts about the show in general?
When it was all over, I think I summed up my thoughts by tweeting, well, MTV, congratulations on a job done. So I think
it's true. It's true.
So I think the other thing too is that, you know, considering it was an award show, the awards just seem to be like peppered in amongst other kind of craziness. Like, I think the way that they shortened it was by just making the awards like kind of the afterthought. Like, it
very
just
much.
Really felt as though like there were these like giant performances and then Katy Perry was doing her like comedy routine and yucking it up. And then it was like, and then here's an award. And then I think on some level I have sympathy for this because I feel as though the VMAs are known for being, you know, kind of crazy. They're supposed to be out there. Everybody's expected to do something really ridiculous and over the top. And I think as the years have gone on, it's become more and more difficult to surprise and shock people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it felt like Katy Perry was trying really hard and it just fell flat.
I thought so too. What do you think, Marissa, in general of the awards that strike you?
In general, I was just waiting for the drama the whole time, just waiting for something to happen. And I guess I'm kind of glad that nothing too awful or offensive or bizarre happened, as may have happened, but it seemed very toned down. And Katy Perry, you're right, Sarah, Katy Perry was trying so hard. You could just see the effort,
sure
and
was.
It just yeah. didn't land.
Yeah. So I think we've put it off as long as we can. But one of the things that dominated this VMAs was someone who wasn't technically present, mm-hmm. who is Taylor Swift, who debuted the new video for her, I don't know, what's it called? Poor Me. Poor Me.
Look What You Made Me Do.
Oh, Look What You Made Me Do.
Kanye.
Yeah. So if you had not heard this, Look What You Made Me Do is a very repetitive, I would say, single from her upcoming album, Reputation.
It's not repetitive. It's catchy, Linda.
It is. You know, here's the funny thing, and I'm going to let y'all take this because I'm not the music expert around here, but it's so funny to me because, you know, she's one of those people who I think is obsessed with the idea that people are out to get her, and it's true. but somehow it's also annoying that she's obsessed with it. Marissa, where do you come down on Taylor Swift?
Oh, I know the answer to this.
I am, to put it politely, not a fan of hers at all. I think she has songs that are catchy. She's written bangers in the past. I can't deny that. But every persona of hers just drives me nuts, whether it was Taylor Swift as a country singer who was so deep in with the internalized misogyny and girl hate that I just couldn't get behind it. And then she became a quote-unquote feminist, but it was this weird feminism that was really exclusive and also totally divorced from any kind of political or social change. All of that to say, I did not like the new song.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the video either, unsurprisingly.
Yeah. Sarah Ventry, speak to me of Taylor Swift.
So I don't dislike Taylor Swift as much as Marissa does. Look, you know, Pop Culture Happy Hour talks about this a lot, too. There are many times where we as a society and perhaps we as individuals, we enjoy problematic things in society. And I sort of just chalk up, you know, despite the fact that Taylor Swift's version of feminism is vastly different than mine, and it, you know, I am very critical of it. You know, she does have some bangers, and I just sort of temporarily, I guess, put those things aside and listen to them the way I do with lots of other pieces of pop culture. Yeah, the video did not do it for me. It's hard because I almost feel as though I can kind of see in her maybe parts of myself when I was younger that were trying to sort of grow. And like, for example, I know that for a lot of people, when you like finish high school and you go on to college, it's like a time when you want to like reinvent yourself. And so you have this opportunity to do it because you're at a new school and most people don't know you and you might even be in a new city and you can sort of wipe the slate clean and have an opportunity to be the person that you want to be in your current state without the baggage of your past. And I don't think Taylor Swift has ever had that opportunity because she's been famous since she was a teenager. Uh-huh. I mean, she deleted everything on her social media. She's literally trying to wipe the slate clean. But then she, at the same time, released this song that completely like references every terrible thing that's happened
right.
in yeah. the past, like whatever, 5 to 10 years for her. And so it's hard because I think on the one hand, I'm watching her sort of process through all of these things that she wishes she could erase. But then I think, wow, it would really behoove you to just not mention them anymore.
Right. Yeah. right.
And yeah. not only mention them, but the end of the video has just like representations of each of Taylor's, you know, most famous music videos. And there's like country singer Curly Hair Taylor. And there's like the You Belong With Me music video Taylor. And if she wants to wipe them clean, don't show us exactly what they look like right at the end of the video. Yeah.
There was some weirdness too, because it was almost as though at the end of that video, she was crucifying herself. Like she stands up on the top of this hill and there's a giant T and her arms are spread out like in yeah. the posture of the cross. And then there's all of these versions of Taylor Swift fighting with other Taylor Swifts to get to the Taylor Swift on top.
I can relate to some of Taylor Swift's petty grudges.
Right.
if I can map them over my own life.
Right.
But I can't map the specifics of being Taylor Swift
right.
over my own life. And I think that's where when artists start to kind of crawl up their own butt, that's when they start to lose.
Well, and it's like you can look back and say, like, look, John Lennon, you know, wrote about his own relationship with the press, right? With very specific references to the bed in and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't every song. And the problem that I have with Taylor Swift is like, I would defend her for doing this if she didn't do it every single time. Like, I would defend a certain amount of a kind of processing of fame. And as Sarah said, she's been famous since she was a kid. Mm-hmm. But as Marissa said, she's not the good kind of chameleon. She mm-hmm. seems like she's so adjustable that I don't know who she is except in terms of how she feels about herself and right. her own relationship with the press. And it was interesting to see her contrasted with Pink,
yeah.
who mm-hmm. in some ways Taylor Swift and Pink have had a lot in common to this degree, right? They have both done songs that are referential about themselves and kind of what's going on with them. They have both had big songs that are sort of the feel good about yourself, mm-hmm. you, variety. And yet they come off so differently. Yep. I thought that Pink performance was really terrific. And it's not that I haven't liked Pink, but this was a version of Pink that I particularly enjoyed. She won the Video Vanguard Award, so they did kind of a big, she did a big medley of her hits, which I thought was refreshingly brief. I don't know.
She wove some of her songs together.
It was breezy in a certain way that's hard to pull off with those things.
It's funny, like, I remember tweeting at one point, like, you know what? I like Pink.
Yeah.
And then I had to, like, revise it. No, like, I love Pink.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
Pink is awesome.
This is a really good night for her.
Pink is incredibly talented. She's a really good singer.
Yeah.
She mm-hmm. has a bunch of those songs are great. And then she gives this incredibly warm and kind and gracious speech that had real weight behind it, like, real emotional weight behind it, and really was like, kind of pointing her attention outward.
Exactly.
That's the contrast.
It very quickly mm-hmm. became about other people and wanting to embrace other people in
and
a
her
way.
And her kid.
And I was very, very moved by that speech.
Yeah.
I said to her, I said, do you see me growing my hair? She said, no, mama. I said, do you see me changing my body? No, mama. Do you see me changing the way I present myself to the world? No, mama. Do you see me selling out arenas all over the world? Yes, mama. Okay. So, baby girl, we don't change. We take the gravel in the shell and we make a pearl. And we help other people to change so that they can see more kinds of beauty.
She started it by talking about herself, but she also opened it up to be this kind of like warm, fuzzy, inspirational message that actually was kind of timely and beautiful. And she referenced, you know, androgynous artists throughout the ages that she's found inspiring, like Bowie and Prince. And I thought it was also really nice to see her highlight other artists that she found important. Yeah, I thought it was a really moving speech.
Yeah. There were throughout the night a lot of efforts to kind of weave in the wider world. I think people are feeling, you know, not only do you have sort of a sense of chronic emergency for a lot of people, mm-hmm. but also some acute emergency. We're right in the middle of the flooding in Houston, yep. as well as, you know, kind of the day to day of the news cycle. And I think you did see, you know, Paris Jackson spoke mm-hmm. to some social justice stuff that's important to her. And, you know, you did have other people kind of trying to weave those things in, I thought with varying degrees of success.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought Paris Jackson to me was interesting because Katy Perry came out at the top of the show and she said, wow, you know, a lot of bad things in the world right now, just vague, general
yes.
bad things.
Which is common at award shows.
Mm-hmm. And then Paris Jackson gets up and says, we need to talk about white supremacy. We need mm-hmm. to talk about racism. These are important issues we need to tackle. And that specificity to me was like a total yeah. 180 from what Katy Perry was doing.
Yeah.
I agree with that, Marissa. But I also feel that, so Paris Jackson said this very important, very timely, very powerful thing, and then basically paused like for maybe half a second and goes, and now for the award for best blah, blah, blah. And
pop video.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's important to acknowledge these things, but there had to have been a better way to do it than what was done. And someone else on Twitter pointed out to me, it's not necessarily the way they did it. It was that they transitioned so quickly from what they were doing to then something ridiculous, i.e. Heather Heyer's mom talking and then a performance by Rod Stewart of Do You Think I'm Sexy?
Right. So Heather Heyer, who is the woman who was killed during the protests in Charlottesville, her mother, who has been doing a lot of press, kind of trying to talk about why she was present at that event and what Heather Heyer's activism had meant to her. Her mom was at the VMAs, which really surprised me.
Yeah.
It's just so it is such a contrast, although I can also understand her thinking this was a way to reach mm-hmm. the people that she wanted to reach. But directly after this kind of very moving speech that she gave, without a commercial
commercial,
without anything, they went directly into this really cheesy kind of where DNCE was covering Do You Think I'm Sexy by Rod Stewart, and then Rod Stewart came out. It's kind of a gloriously silly song. That's its upside.
Right. Right.
And to go directly to that, I was talking to our producer, Jessica Reedy, this morning, and she was like, you needed a commercial there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in a way, all it's doing is crystallizing exactly what Sarah's talking about,
right.
which is there is a weird disconnect between, and there always has been, between the serious side of MTV and the really cheesy, weird part of MTV. I mean, all they did in that transition was kind of put that just front and center,
yep.
I mm-hmm. felt like. All right, so also some performances, Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar was so great.
Kendrick Lamar was great.
I was delighted to see how many awards Kendrick Lamar won, and
yeah.
that he won mm-hmm. he won video. He didn't win Artist of the Year. Ed Sheeran won that, but he won Video of the Year and Best Hip Hop Video.
Yeah,
and I was delighted to see that.
Yeah. Well, we could sit here and talk about the VMAs all day, but come and tell us what you thought. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet at us at PCHH. And if you didn't watch the VMAs because you watched the season finale of Game of Thrones, you'll be happy to know that we will have an episode on that later this week with our buddy Glenn Weldon, who's been recapping it for us this season. Thanks to Sarah Ventry out there in California for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And thanks to Marissa LaRusso for visiting us from NPR Music.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to all of you guys for listening, and we will see you later this week.